Welcome to episode 56 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. The topic for this episode is going to be part of a series that I started earlier describing some of the techniques and processes and workflow for producing the podcast. And all of that has pretty much stayed the same. If you've listened to those episodes, you know that there are layers of a process. And what's changed recently is that in the past, I would go through the entire production process, the recording like I'm doing now. I would upload the recording to the computer, edit it, then get it uploaded to the hosting platform, which is anchor.fm. And then at that point, get the MP3 file also uploaded to my website, the resourcesforlife.com site is where I'm putting these. And then finally, promote it on social media. So I tried to do all that in one sitting, and that usually works fine. If I have the time, I don't feel pressured to get other tasks done. But as it's become busier, I've tried to have kind of natural breakpoints in the workflow process. And what I found makes sense is that I can consider kind of the recording process from start to finish as one at the end of that, a breakpoint. I can just keep the recording on my phone and not transfer it, but wait until later to do that. And that certainly saves time. I'm out for a walk anyway. I do the recording and then get right to work on other things when I get back to the office at home. And then later, the next kind of natural phase is to work with that recording, edit it. That even may go across a day or two if I don't just sit down and do the entire recording, especially if it's a long one. But I get through the editing process for that recording, and if that's done in one sitting, that's great, and I save it. I will make a note in my spreadsheet if I'm halfway through editing. I just kind of put a note in there as to how many minutes into the recording have I edited. That way it's easy to go back later and continue. But that's kind of the second phase, is that editing process. And then after it's edited, pretty much at the same time, I save it as an MP3. I'm using Audacity, the free audio editing software. And so I use that software, edit it, save it as a project that I can return to later and do further editing easily, but also export it as an MP3 file. And then since I have the file right there, I upload that to the hosting platform, anchor.fm. And that includes putting in the title, the description, indicating the date and the time to the hour, roughly, when the recording was made. And then putting in the season and episode numbers. So I haven't really been using the season as such yet, just on season one. But so that's kind of a phase of the production process. And I'm going to continue describing these phases. There are two more. But for those of you who are wanting to get the general message of this episode, in the first few minutes, I do try to provide kind of a summary or an overview so people know what is in the rest of the episode. And that's basically it. I'm just going to talk about these different phases of the podcast episode production process and how it makes sense to break it down into these groups. So if you're staying on to hear more details, thanks. And if you need to go, no problem. And I look forward to having you back later for more podcast episodes. Okay, so after I've done the initial recording, then perhaps at a separate sitting and maybe several sittings doing the editing, I do like to spend as much time editing as possible because I think I can really tighten it up and make it sound better and be easier to listen to for the listener. I try not to rush through that. And that was the other reason for not trying to compress all of this work into the smallest amount of time possible, because I found I was just kind of rushing through, that the goal was to get through the process and get on to the next episode. So now I'm kind of taking my time. But the editing's done. I export it as an MP3 file, upload that to Anchor. And that then is the first moment at which the podcast becomes available, at least to those who have subscribed through iTunes or Google or Spotify or some other similar platform. And if you have the Google Podcast app, for example, and you're on an Android phone, you'll pick up your phone and you'll see a notification. Hey, there's another episode of Walk and Talk with Greg Johnson. So I think when I do this publish, that some people just kind of listen, I'll say right away, probably within a day, if they're picking up their phone every day and they see it and they just listen. And I try to provide, as I say, that overview at the beginning, because I think some people are sort of, I imagine, you know, dipping in, listening to a few minutes, and life is busy, so they may not have time to listen to an entire episode if it's not a topic that's of interest and relevant for them. But I think that still counts as a listen. So then the next phase of this process is to take that MP3 file and upload it into the media library on my website and create a post on the website with a link to that file, just in case at some point if Anchor is no longer available or something, I'm thinking like 5, 10, 15 years down the road, I'd like the content to still be a click away. Hopefully Anchor will be around for a long time. But anyway, the post gets created on the website, just like an article, just like any other post, but it has links to Apple, Google, Spotify, and Anchor for people that want to, you know, they're reading the post, they see that there's this new podcast episode, it's briefly described, and then they can click on a link and go to their favorite platform. There's also the built-in anchor.fm embedded player, so they can listen that way on the web page. And then finally, as I mentioned, the link to the MP3 file, so they could just click and download and listen on their computer however they want to. But that's what I would call the third phase, that it's already on Anchor. Now I'm putting it on the website as a way of announcing it to those who subscribe to my website, and also just kind of making it available and handy that way. And something else about getting it on the website as a post is that there are people that search the internet using Google or Bing or whatever, DuckDuckGo, whatever their search engine of choice is, and they search and they will find results. And sometimes my website comes up, articles on the website for topics that people are interested in. And so this way, by having the podcast as a post, that episode as a post on the website, it's a fairly narrow topic for each episode, and the title of the post then is something that people might find on a search. And I do think that that's happening to some extent, because once I get the podcast episode posted on the website, I notice kind of an increase in listeners, and I also have been noticing more than average number of listeners for some topics. Like, I did an episode on the Subaru Ascent. That one had like twice as many listeners than normal. Something else that motivated me to do the production process in phases was that after posting a podcast episode to Anchor, it may be an hour or more of a delay before it would start showing up on Spotify or Google or Apple Podcasts. And to get to the next step of putting these links on the website post page, I would need to have access to those episodes being available and published on those other platforms. And so what I found was I was trying to get through the whole process, but then I'd have to kind of wait until this latest episode was starting to show up on the different platforms. So I decided that was definitely a natural break in the workflow to kind of stop there, get it uploaded and published on Anchor, and then continue later with the website post. So after the website post is published and available, the final step of the production process is to go to social media and announce it. The reason I share the website post link on social media rather than pointing people to Anchor or one of the platforms where the podcast episode is available is because the post on the website provides an exceptional starting point and a hub. And from there, they can download the file directly or go to their platform of choice. And there's a nice description. And also, in the future, if I decided to change hosting platforms, I would still have these web posts that I can go back to and update. And that's kind of easier than going back through social media and trying to change links. So anyway, that really is the final process. And I suppose I could have a MailChimp distribution email that would let people know there's a new episode available. Some of that becomes kind of redundant because in the culture or practice of podcast enthusiasts, what you find is that people are subscribing to the podcast. They're getting notified anyway. And once they know about your podcast and they like it, they'll subscribe and they don't need a reminder on really on social media or website or anywhere. But as I mentioned, I like to have these notifications about the podcast episodes because each topic is different, and I may pick up some new listeners who want to hear a particular topic more fully or just want to check out the podcast and hadn't heard of it before. But that's the full process, and it's those kind of four major phases of getting the production done: recording, uploading to hosting platform, creating a website post, and finally announcing on social media. Another benefit of doing this in stages or phases is that I can get an idea of how many listeners I pick up at each step along the way. So just having something announced, posted, published through Anchor and the subsequent platforms that it's connected to gives me an idea of how many subscribers I have that are actually using a podcast application to follow along. Because I'll see those listens come up pretty promptly after it's available. And then I wait a few days, and then, you know, putting it on the website, I'll see another bump up in how many people have listened. And that tells me that there are a certain number of people who don't really subscribe using a podcast app or website, but they just wait until I publish a post on the site, and that's their reminder, and then they go and listen to the episode. And finally, and maybe most importantly, is to see what kind of a bump do I get when I share the podcast episode on social media. Because I think we imagine that, you know, we have hundreds or thousands of friends or followers or whatever on Twitter or Facebook, and we have this imaginary impact that we envision that we can have. And maybe, you know, when you share some post or link, let's say to a Facebook page that has 18,000 followers, maybe you'll get 300 that click like. That's nice. That's at least 300 people that actually saw it and clicked like. And then from those 300, the question would be, well, how many actually go to read the article? This is now a built-in feature on Facebook and Twitter. When somebody goes to interact with a post or to share it, the suggestion comes up, would you like to read that article before you share it? You know, because there was a lot of sharing going on during the election season of old content, maybe content that was irrelevant, content with titles that were misleading. And so the social media giants have tried to curtail that a little bit by saying, hey, you know, before you go to share something, at least take a moment to read it. And anyway, though, we have this, I think, misguided or inflated view of how much impact we're having through our social media connections. And so, you know, this is a good test of that. If I have, let's say, a certain number of people have listened to a podcast episode, and then I post it on social media to hundreds and thousands of people, and that number doesn't change, even if there are 300 likes, you know, if the number of listeners doesn't change, then that kind of tells me, okay, this is all just an exercise in futility, that the social media is not really producing any outcomes or actions or results that were the desired product. Now, while this sounds like a wonderful way to make an assessment of impact and marketing and promotion efforts and judge, you know, how much activity is on each platform and etc., what I also realize is that, let's say I post this podcast episode to Anchor so it becomes available on different podcast platforms, and that episode gets a certain number of listens. And then after I see it tapering off, because I figure, well, everyone who's subscribed and who's going to listen has listened after 2 or 3 days, then I post it to the website, and suddenly it gets just a huge number of listens, I might think, oh, well, the website is really the place to promote things. And then it tapers off when I post it to social media. Well, it could be that there was just, you know, a movie that was really popular and the Subaru Ascent was showing up in that movie. And so everybody was doing searches on the Subaru Ascent. And I was just getting some residual interest from that event that had nothing to do with the effectiveness or impact of the website post. So anyway, there's going to be some of that that can influence the apparent impact of any kind of marketing effort. There are other factors going on. Even if we try to be scientific and analytical and data-driven and all of that, there can always be these outside factors that we don't know about that are influencing outcomes. The temperature has been going down as we head further into the end of December and into January 2021. So the last 2 or 3 podcast episodes I recorded in colder temperatures, I think maybe in the 30s or 40s or something, but a little bit cooler. And today it's in the 20s and there is occasionally a little breeze, but not too severe. But it's cold enough that my face is a little bit slow moving. You know, when you're outside and your face gets cold, the muscles are kind of slow. So you might notice a little bit of difference in my voice for some words that are hard to say when your mouth is moving slowly. But I hope that as there are even these colder days, if I bundle up, today I put a scarf on for the first time this winter. Once it drops below freezing, I feel like I want to get a little bit of an extra layer on. And I'm using thicker gloves instead of my jersey gloves. Those jersey gloves work to probably into the 30s and maybe to freezing, but below that, they don't quite protect as much. And a nice warm hat. But otherwise, I hope to be able to go through the winter and continue producing the podcast episodes on different topics. I appreciate everybody that's been following along. I do notice that there seem to be people that are subscribed and listening to every episode. That's nice. Always feel free to reach out if there's a topic you want me to talk about or even do some research on and report back. I enjoy doing that. Well, we've reached the end of another episode. I appreciate you taking time to listen, and I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.